I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right, welcome to the Tuesday edition of KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Taylor Phelps, Kevin Jeffries, and Jordan Davis here. Don't know what caught in my throat right there, but
thought I was about to get a cool nickname.
Yeah, I was going to give you some Kevin McCofferson or something. I don't know.
Kevin, he's the man, Jeffries.
Anyway, we're here in the studio with you. We got a lot to talk about, including but not limited to the Rangers, NBA free agency, the Cowboys, and the biggest story today, how young is too young for college coaches to start recruiting kids for their teams? That's what we're going to start off with today. So, guys, how young is too young to be recruited for college?
They get recruited based on their parents sometimes, don't they?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, did you see Michael Jordan's kid? We're going to be recruiting him. I know that. Yeah. Even before he's born. But I don't know. You have some of this coming out. You can look at it a couple of different ways. You can go, is this good for the kid? Is it good for the kid to have this kind of big head? Is it going to hurt his scholastic aptitude, his ability to get an education? You know, what are the, I don't know, kind of impact on his attitude as he grows up and how well-rounded of an individual he can be? But, you know, it's not unusual for a 12-year-old to go to college if they're smart enough. Mm. These kids, it's just the under end of the spectrum. They're athletic enough. Now, they're still going to grow, and you still would never put a 12-year-old on a professional in a professional sport just because they would die. But
it's not like Mike here.
Yeah. But to start looking at them that early, I don't, you know, it makes sense for the programs to do. And I guess after that, it's kind of up to the parents.
I just think it's kind of like a false sense of confidence for the kid. You know, these kids can be dropped at any minute. It's not like they're signing a paper that says that they're
It's a verbal agreement.
Yeah, it's not an actual contract that's going to be honored by the school. This is just the way the coach gets his name in there and gets that kid already committed at a young age. He's just trying to get, you know, the school to get the best recruits they can, and they have to follow the kids that young because the other teams are doing it too. But who knows if that coach will even be there the way coaches get fired. So it's not like this is a for sure deal. So I think it kind of gives the kid just a false sense of confidence that he's got everything locked up when he really doesn't.
Right. Jordan, what's your opinion?
I mean, personally, coming from a high school where I saw many of my young friends get recruited by like SEC schools, I can personally say it's good and bad because, you know, as a kid, especially a kid going into high school, if you get like Alabama looking at you, it's like, hey, I have Alabama looking at me. I'm better than all of y'all. Well, who do y'all have looking at you? And that could hurt a kid because, I mean, if he has that much confidence, he can go into the season thinking, okay, I can play like crap and I still get to go to a college. But on the other hand, it really helps the kids out because it gives them something positive to do. Like if you have a good school like Iowa or something looking at you, it's like, wow, I could really go somewhere and actually play like people I see on TV all the time. Yeah. So it's good and bad depending on like the time and place you come to them. I believe personally, like before a season is bad because you want the child to be focused on the season. But like after the season or toward the end of the season, I mean, it's, you know, it's good for a coach to say, hey, we know we're kind of interested in you.
Right. Well, let me give you guys some historical figures on these players. The first one that was a really big notice was in May of 2008, 6'4 guard Michael Avery, he was 6'4 at the time, received an offer to play college basketball at the University of Kentucky. He accepted and ended his extremely short recruitment. He was in the eighth grade when he made this verbal commitment. All right, so he graduated high school in May 2012, and guess what? He's not playing for the University of Kentucky now.
Right.
He plays for Sonoma State, of all teams that he could have gone to.
Like we said, Kentucky doesn't even have the same coach as they did in 08.
He finished the season for Sonoma State with 1.9 points per game, 1.6 rebounds per game, and 1.2 assists, and 1.1 turnovers per game. So.
He was
not
terrible.
A very good plus minus
terrible. And part of that, you're talking that early, it may affect their game. They go in and go, I don't have to learn how to play. I don't have to learn anything.
I'm already good enough.
Eighth grade?
Yeah. And I wonder, no, you're not good enough. You're tall enough and you're big enough.
You're tall.
Yeah, then that's what they're looking for. If you can develop those skills, then they're going to be happy. But I do also wonder, and especially like in high school situations, how much it's going to impact their education.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you go, it can be good and bad. And again, I think a lot of that falls on the responsibility of the parents and the high school. The good part of it, they walk in and go, hey, we're gonna recruit you for Alabama, but you're going to need a 3.0 GPA. You're going to have so-and-so on your SAT. Yes. And they're like, okay, I better buckle down. Or they say that, and all the teachers in the high school go, oh, that's cool. We'll give you A's right away. You don't have to worry or study or come to class.
I've seen that happen.
And I can find somebody to take your SAT for you. And then and you're like, no, see. Yeah. And that's the good and bad. As long as the adults are responsible in these kids' lives and kind of keep them on track, I can't really hold it against the colleges.
No.
Well, let's look at another one, more of a success maybe than Michael Avery. Ryan Boatwright committed to USC at age 14, and then picked a high school later that month. He is now playing for UConn, and he averaged 15.4 points per game, 2.9 rebounds per game, and 4.4 assists. So not too bad of a pickup, but he had some recruitment allegations, actually went to court over $8,000 in impermissible funds that he and his mom accepted. It was just a flight, a few flights from
that's
wherever.
Where regulations are ridiculous. That's where I think they need to tweak it at. I think they need to tweak that part of recruitment. If you want a kid so bad where you're trying to help pay his bills and stuff, that kid and his parent need to both sit down and be like, okay, we know this is wrong. Don't take this money. Because I see so many young people just take the money and be like driving nice cars. You know you're going to get in trouble for it. You know you're going to get in trouble for it.
Just, and although I think they should be getting some sort of money.
Something.
As much money
they fill
as
up the seats.
Yeah, as much money as the colleges make on it. Yeah. Now, and maybe it's not like the football recruits make more money, but some of these athletes should get a stipend. And
definitely.
The high profile athletes get so much more scrutiny on them, whereas you know some of these other people, somebody that's playing water polo or whatever, might have a part-time job at the library, and then their boss took them out for dinner one night, you know. And but if that happened to,
they're not being followed the same as the football because it's not. It's all about money. They don't generate as much money, so nobody cares as much. Yeah. So that's why you have all the debate and the following of college football and the recruits and basketball as well, because there's so much money involved that you can't let anyone get ahead of you illegally.
And then that the kid who, you know, they bought their plane tickets to come out, that they're going to be potentially kicked out and suspended because they accepted the money.
Right.
I mean, that's not right, that they're generating so much income for these programs that they're under such scrutiny. And I mean, heck, they're all poor. They can't get jobs at all from having to work or from having to work for the sport and all the practices. And then that sport in many instances says, well, you're going to have to miss half your classes too. So you have to make up all your classes after it. And then you're stuck in a situation where, well, this guy offered me a job and I can't take it because it might look weird.
Well, speaking about all
kinds of problems,
they're doing a judicial hearing on a lawsuit that's actually calling for players to get a stipend or a payment of some sort. And we'll be talking about that as soon as the lawsuit goes through and we know what happened.
So exactly.
That's going to be something we're following for sure.
And we've talked about that before on the show, too, about
we
college
did
athletes
very
getting
soon
paid.
In the beginning. That was when we had Blake Cooper on the show, actually.
Yeah.
So that was a good show. But let's get back to this topic. The most recent example, and the one we're really going to talk about today, is Dylan Moses. He is currently 15 years old. He's 6'1", and he runs a 4.4640. Now, that's insane.
How?
For anyone, much less an eighth grader.
How?
Yeah. So this kid, we've got the magazine from ESPN here in the studio. We're looking
at
it.
And I'm looking at him, and he looks like an NFL player.
Yeah, he's wearing...
At 15 years old.
At 15.
He's wearing a jersey that's from his high school in Baton Rouge that looks like a Steelers jersey. I mean, you look at him...
something in that Louisiana water.
Yeah.
Something.
You look at him, and you think, that's a Steelers player. I mean,
that looks like he plays from one... He looks like he plays on my team.
He looks like the number one draft pick, maybe.
It looks like him.
Yeah. He still looks young, but... Wow. He looks 18.
But he's 19. Got, right now, he's got 8 offers from Division I schools. I'm going to read off the list: LSU, Alabama, Florida, Texas, Florida State, Nebraska, Ole Miss, and UCLA. They've all already given him offers.
Wow.
And he's been to the football camps at LSU and UT. he's done extremely well at the UT camp, at least according to his dad. I read a few articles, and of course his dad's going to praise him.
Definitely.
Right.
But he said he was keeping pace with juniors and senior linebackers, which is the position he's going to play, or maybe a running back. So,
wow.
What do you guys think of this guy?
Kind of speechless.
He's going to have to get faster and grow taller.
I mean,
you've
still got four more years until anything happens. So, I mean, it's very interesting. His recruitment's ridiculous at such a young age, at 15. But it's not the first time we've seen players like this. The running back from Oklahoma that went to Oklahoma back in the 80s, what's his name? They had a 30 for 30 on him.
God. I know you're talking about.
It's there.
It's there, but we forget it because he never made it to the NFL.
Yeah.
And he never made it even 4 years through college. So we don't know what's going to happen to this kid. Potential's definitely there.
He don't peak too early. Yeah. Like, you don't want him to get his peak right now. And then when it comes to where he can actually be recruited, it's like he go from five-star athlete to three-star. Because he's just like, okay, he's barely average. That's
and Marcus Dupree
about.
Is the one from Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's who it is. Because he was an athlete.
And a ridiculous athlete. Right. Just an eighth grade, better than anyone on the varsity. And this kid seems to be the same way. So I guess we'll just have to see what happens.
Right. Well, let me ask you guys this question. Do you think getting recruited at this age maybe keeps you from going to the school that actually fits you, like your personality the best or your play style the best, you like what you like as a school?
A better question would be, do you start moving around to different school districts for athletic reasons as opposed to going to school where your parents live, which is pretty much that's the choices I have.
There was no
going to a different school. It was,
you're getting
on the bus, Kevin.
Right, but then going to the college level, like, do you think recruiting, like saying you want to go to Alabama, and then when you hit 18, you realize that Michigan has a much better system for you, and you like the school better. You don't want to be in the hot weather.
Exactly.
Well, that
and maybe some of these schools,
athlete, though, that goes out to the athlete. Like, what you saying, Taylor?
And like you said, maybe some of these schools might not be as successful.
Yeah.
As you know, you're talking coaches change, and some of these programs are so good, we don't intend that happens, but.
Right.
You never know. You never know how the program's going to change and how it's going to be shaped over the next 4 years. And if he makes such a hasty decision, I mean, we looked at these two basketball players, Ryan Boatwright and Michael Avery. Neither of them attended the school that they originally said they would as eighth graders.
And that's been the case for most of the recruits.
And even one we see is not as successful as the other. So we know that success doesn't determine that either. So definitely keep an eye on this kid.
Personally, if I were the kid's dad, I'd go, okay, let's check out the athletic programs and the academics, and we'll tell that person that, okay, we want a guaranteed free ride scholarship, whether or not he, and even if he's injured and can't play, and no matter how he plays in his junior and senior year, I want a guaranteed scholarship right now, but we can bail out of it if we want.
Yeah, that's what I would tell my son, because I would go up there, I was like, okay.
If I got all the chips, I'm going to hold them.
For one, because I know how coaches think at the college level. They get a kid that they think is a star, they're going to ride them until the wheels fall off.
Right,
and
of course.
Especially at some of these programs, like you think Florida State and Nebraska, they're known for having like traditional. I would tell my son, look, we're going to go to the right coaching staff. I want the coaches, I want them to really work with my son rather than just put him out there and get money.
Or put him in a dark closet like they
did. Yeah,
because
you know
Texas
Tech. A lot of athletes. Oh God, that was horrible. That's like the Bobby Knight. That's up there with Bobby Knight.
But another thing about this kid is like we said, you know, we want to hold all the chips, or his parents do, but also the coaches have the chips too, because they can say whatever they want. Nothing's on paper.
It's
is really kind of overblown and out of proportion, because none of it really matters.
Right.
It matters for us as people, you know, watching to see what happens to this kid. But on both sides of the coin, for the coaches and for the player and family, none of it really matters, because none of it's in writing.
Right. Well, I just want to give you guys an update on what happened on the basketball side of this. The NABC, which is a forum of college and high school coaches in basketball, said that they don't want players to be offered scholarships until after their sophomore year of high school. Now, that's not an official NCAA ruling. It doesn't say, like, you can't. It's just a suggestion, and you're going to be looked down upon, quotation marks, maybe keep you from a job if you do that. And then the other ruling is that the NCAA did come out and say that coaches cannot officially contact anyone before the seventh grade. So you can have them in your camp. You can have them just do a face-to-face meeting on campus, but you can't be the one that initiates the contact.
Until their voices start to change, you can't talk to them.
That makes sense.
That almost even sounds like a ridiculous rule. Like, that should never be an issue anyway.
But I think after sophomore year of high school, that person, that athlete, he starts or she starts to think, okay, I'm really good at this sport.
And all students, all high school students start looking at the colleges they want. They start taking their SATs the first time and all the other stuff. They start doing all of that. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
All right, well, that's about going to do it for us on this topic. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back to talk about Manny Ramirez, the All-Star votes for the Rangers, and a lot of other stuff today. So be sure to stick around with us. This is KETR's Locker Room.
Hello, I'm the host of Latin Soul, David Herbaz. Join me on Tuesday night for a show that will spice up your life with selections of jazz and soul and more in a Latin style. Latin Soul, Tuesday night at 9, only on 88.9 KETR.
From barbecuing and bird watching to walking and working in the garden, public radio listeners enjoy spending time outside. If your company or business can enhance their enjoyment of outdoor activities, you should consider program sponsorships on KETR. For more information, call Sherry at 903-513-9684.
All right, we're back here on KETR's Locker Room. I can't talk today.
KETR.
Yeah, KETR.
Rumor Lock.
Cooper Welch, Kevin Jeffries, Taylor Phelps, and Jordan Davis here with you. Earlier in the show, as you heard, we talked about how young is too young for college coaches to start recruiting kids. We kind of decided that issue. And now we're talking about someone quite a bit older. Manny Ramirez has signed with the Rangers. He signed with the AAA team, the Round Rock. I don't know their mascot, Round Rock something. But they signed him. He's been doing a lot of batting cage work. Hasn't really talked to anybody yet, but he's on the team. And he had his first at-bat, I think, on Sunday. He went 1-for-3 with a single and a walk in his first game with AAA Round Rock. So what do you guys think of the Manny Ramirez addition?
Well,
I just don't see how it can hurt, really. I mean, when you're just got playing in the minor leagues, I mean, I just take a chance, see what happens. Mm. Pretty much the same thing I wanted to see someone do with Allen Iverson, but it wasn't done. Just they don't have the same minor league system.
I mean, he also said he didn't want to play for the Texas Legends.
Exactly. So they gave him offers, but I think this is good for the Rangers. Just try out Manny Ramirez and see what's going to happen.
Yes.
If it works, it works.
He's been hitting insane over in the Korea League where he had been playing. And he thought he wasn't going to get another chance here in Major League Baseball. But the Rangers called him up, said, hey, we want you to come. Just do a minor league thing, see what happens. So that's what's happened so far. But the rumor is he's supposed to be up with the Rangers in the next 10 to 15 days. So
my thing is if it works, you look like a genius.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, nobody talks about it.
Because it's just
a bus.
Well, and if it doesn't work, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. And they're still the same team.
Exactly what you're saying. Why not? Why wouldn't you do it?
It's helping him out too.
And
so.
You're getting Manny Ramirez on your team. Who
is Manny?
He's a crowd pleaser.
Manny's gonna be Manny. he's gonna draw people to the seats because people want to see Manny.
And we'll get to see him. He'll be relieving somebody or another. Yeah. The thing is, though, if you go in with the strongest lineup you got as you go into the playoffs. Mm. Who do you have out instead to get Manny Ramirez in? Yeah. Who does he replace? And those are some of the questions, you know, that are hard to answer.
As long as he doesn't become a problem in the clubhouse, which he's playing in a minor league team right now, so that's not even an issue.
Right.
It should be fine.
The rumor is the reason the Rangers picked him up is because the suspensions for Nelson Cruz and all
that
the other people are going to be coming down pretty soon.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, we'll lose a actual all-star in Nelson Cruz and be replacing him with an older all-star.
Yeah.
If he can hit, good for the Rangers.
If he can hit, he'll do the same thing Nelson's doing right now. Yeah. So that won't lose anything.
They're about as mobile on defense.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
because Nelson Cruz has never been famed for his defense, as we saw in the World Series.
Yeah.
No. Now, how's Manny's hamstring?
That's the question. That's the question.
Let's talk about our All-Stars right now. Joe Nathan, Yu Darvish, and Nelson Cruz all made the All-Stars list, and Tanner Shepherds is in the final vote. Now, the final vote is...
what is it, pound, take, Tanner? Is that what it is?
It's either pound, take, Tanner. You can send that to 89269, or you just vote A4. It's unlimited votes. You can do it as much as you want. You can also do it on MLB.com/All-Stars. And we really, I think we all want to get Tanner Shepherds onto the All-Star team. I think he deserves it. He's had a great effort this year.
If Puig got on there, he can get on there.
Yeah. He's on the list. He's on the top five. He's not, I think he's third or fourth in the voting right now. It's currently going to a Toronto pitcher that I don't even know his name.
Wow.
But Canadians. I think we can get
him
there.
Crazy Canucks.
Yeah.
because Yu Darvish was on the final vote last year and the Rangers fans voted him in.
Awesome.
So
yes.
I think Tanner Shepherds can get there if we get enough of a hey, let's get him on. Let's
and
get
the Rangers
him going.
Have a lot of fans.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they can get in there.
But this voting continues through Thursday. I think the deadline is like 9 p.m. Eastern time Thursday night. So get out your phones, get on your Twitter, get whatever you need to do, and vote Tanner Shepherds onto this All-Star team. That way we'll have four people representing us on the All-Stars. Now, I want to ask you guys, who got snubbed on the Rangers? Who do you think should have been going to the All-Star game that isn't this year?
I think they got him right.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at Yu Darvish started off real strong.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't have no run support to help him.
Right.
Nelson Cruz, he's been swinging the bat really well. Mm. The only other Ranger I could probably see that I would personally put in might be the shortstop, and it's Andrus.
Elvis. Yeah.
I like him a lot, but I don't know if the public likes him enough to put him in there.
He's had an off season this year.
Yeah, him and Cruz. Yeah. Him and Cruz get into it on the pop-ups. I noticed on SportsCenter, they always arguing on pop-ups.
Beltre yesterday. Yeah, but, him and Beltre like, got in it.
What's up with that?
It was the he does it. First of all, Beltre hates to have his head touched, so Elvis is always rubbing his hair, and Beltre hates it. The infield fly rule had already been called, so Beltre sitting there about to catch it, and Elvis runs up and yells at him real quick. He's just joking around and having fun, man. He's playing baseball. He's young. He's making millions of dollars to play baseball. Yeah. Let's have some fun.
Well, what do you think, Kevin? Who's your snub on the Rangers?
Elvis Andrus.
Okay.
That's who I think would. I think he should be an All-Star every year.
Right.
And maybe he's had a little bit of a down year this year, but for him, that's still incredibly good. Mm-hmm. I think probably he and Adrian Beltre, I think, are the cornerstones of the Rangers. They get stuff done.
Right.
And Beltre, not quite as strong this year as he has been the last couple, but still, you know, one of the rocks of the team. Right. I've been real happy with our pitching, so I got no problems with having some Ranger pitching on the All-Star team.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. I grew up with these Rangers.
Yeah.
We would have a Ranger pitcher not named Nolan Ryan on an All-Star team? Are you out of your mind?
Maybe
really?
Two of them.
What do you think?
I say the same thing, Elvis Andrus.
Okay.
But I do think, actually, that Nelson Cruz is a surprise.
Yeah,
just
I do
because
too.
All he is really a hitter and a home run hitter, and he doesn't have the best batting average on the Rangers.
Mm.
I just think when you're looking at the Rangers roster, just more all around people because they are the number one wild card team, you know, in the AL.
Mm.
And so when I'm looking at their all stars, to just have Nelson Cruz of all the people on there, it doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah.
And Nelson Cruz is, while he's a productive player and is hitting, there's not much else there.
Yeah, and, sure. I agree.
And when you're looking at home run hitters, there's other ones in the MLB
that's fantastic point. Yeah, right. that's really good point.
Well, I got one more thing to talk about on the Rangers, and then we'll move on to NBA free agency. There's been a lot of rumors that Elvis Andrus, Ian Kinsler, Jerickson Profar, Mike Holtz, all those guys are up for trades. And the trade deadline is coming up really soon. Is there anyone that you could, if you could trade for someone right now, anyone you'd want to move for?
Would you want to break up the team? It seems like they're starting to come together in jail. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't touch them if I see that they're starting to come together. They're starting to win. They're starting to pull closer to Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, I'll try to get somebody from Oakland to put on my team as an advantage.
Okay. Two birds with one stone there. Yeah, I like the way you think.
To me, like Jordan's saying, it's hard to break up a team that's doing well, especially in baseball if you're looking like you're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's such a hard sport to make the playoffs in that you really don't want to mess with it. But also, if you really want to get over the hump and be like, okay, in a few more years, we might not have a chance to you know, be a World Series winning team. Let's make a move now. And with the emergence of Profar, you know, there's some pieces there you can maybe move to a team that is young and has one or two good players, but they're rebuilding.
Yeah.
Just like you see that in all sports, teams that are rebuilding, let's get rid of our superstar and let's start from scratch.
Right.
So that would be the only type of move really that the Rangers could look at doing.
I don't know who they would go get, but I disagree. The only person I wouldn't mind seeing traded, not because I dislike him or anything, but because we have Profar and I'd rather keep him, is get Kinsler.
Yeah, move Kinsler. That's what I would say. I would keep Profar as the younger person.
There we go. Yeah. And then you can move Kinsler and get somebody big for Kinsler. Right. But I don't know. I couldn't think of anybody else.
The Rangers system is different than most baseball teams.
Right.
They take a lot of good all-around players and put them in spots so they can succeed. And in baseball today, it's a lot of one-dimensional type players. Like, you have the home run hitters or you have the good defensive men. There's nobody just, unless Bryce Harper suddenly comes to the Rangers, which that's not happening.
Or Steven Strasburg, we know that's not happening.
So,
yeah,
I guess there are some names Rangers. I could ask for, but it ain't going to happen. Yes.
I think the Rangers' move was Manny.
Right.
And that was what their only move will be.
Right. Well, right now I'm just going to confirm to you guys that the Rangers are looking at David Price and Matt Garza, two former Tampa Bay pitchers that are now with different teams. Both of them aren't having the best season, but I could see us going for more starting pitching.
Yeah, and strengthen that pitching core. We still have some injuries. We're still waiting to get back. But still, once you head into the playoffs, having
pitching is like the quarterback.
Oh, more like the defense. Defense wins championships.
You need pitching, especially the past two World Series the Rangers have lost. The pitching has been there, but then when it gets to the big stage, it's like, where did it go?
It's the number of pitchers you have because you're on that rotation, and it's a lot. It's totally different than the regular season when you get into the playoffs.
And their pitchers are better too, so your bats go down. You know, your numbers, the runs that you're scoring goes down because they're the San Francisco Giants, the perfect example, that World Series.
Wow.
I was like, what were you going to? Nobody was going to do anything against that pitching staff. Yeah. So to shore up pitching, hey, that'd be nice to see. And we got Profar to replace Kinsler. So.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Trading Elvis Andrus would break my heart, man. It's my favorite Ranger. Him and Beltre are my favorites right now.
Well, let's move from one Dallas team that has some questions to another Dallas team that has a lot of questions.
Much more questions.
The Dallas Mavericks
have
struck out in the big three in free agency. Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, and Josh Smith. They're all signed.
Dirk just sent a tweet a little while ago. He said, well, we spent all summer trying to get DH back to the Mavericks.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Devin Harris.
All right. But we missed out on them. Dwight signed a 4-year contract with $88 million with the Rockets. Living under a rock, it's been all over ESPN.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jordan definitely called that.
I said it.
Chris Paul signed a 5-year extension.
Y'all need to start keeping track.
Yeah,
we get
do.
A big board, start keeping track. I mean, this is sports. Come on.
Right. Chris Paul signed a 5-year extension with the Clippers for $107 million, and Josh Smith signed a 4-year deal with the Pistons for $54 million.
That's stupid.
Yeah,
that
I don't
was
get it either.
Stupid. They have Greg Monroe and they have Andre Drummond, which is both progressing. Because I mean, Andre Drummond came into the league raw. Like, all he could do was block shots, and he's like a Tyson Chandler, but now he's starting to understand. And Josh Smith, to me, he's just going to go in there and mess everything up to me. Because they don't have – well, of course, you got Brandon Knight. Everybody knows Brandon Knight. DeAndre put him on Super
I mean,
World
the Pistons
Star.
have had some good players. They just haven't been able to put it together, and they've been out of it so long. It's almost like the Pistons didn't even have a team. You watch a game in their stadium, there's no one there.
No one there.
They missed the playoffs, I think, the past 4 or 5 seasons in a row.
It's been
if
horrible.
You would have said that back in their championship years,
back-to-back NBA Finals,
you would have called me stupid.
Yes.
Well, like you said, it doesn't really make sense for the Pistons because they needed a wing player. They didn't really need another starting caliber power forward or center, which is either position he can play.
Yeah.
So that move didn't really make sense. But then the fourth best player, according to several ESPN insiders, is Andrew Bynum, and he's still available. He's in talks with the Mavericks and the Cavaliers. Now, the Cavaliers have offered him a 2-year deal worth something like $20 million a year. So a pretty good deal for him, especially with his knee history.
Wow.
But
his history overall. Yeah. His hair history.
He hurt his knee bowling.
Stupidity industry.
He tore something in his knee bowling.
Yeah.
I can see that happening to me, but a professional player? Come on.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But he is in talks with the Mavericks and the Cavaliers, and he is the best player available for the Mavericks. Now let's talk about some other notable free agents that signed. Iguodala is signed with the Warriors for four
great
years.
Deal. Great. Probably the best one of all.
And that actually turned into a sign and trade instead of just a signing.
So that was good.
The Warriors sent Richard Jefferson, I think, and Andrus Bjerdins, or however you say his name, and
Jazz.
Two first rounders for Andre Iguodala. Now that's a big move for Andre Iguodala, but they had to do it. Two expiring contracts, needed to clear up the money.
And plus, Richard Jefferson was getting $11 million for what?
For nothing. For coming off the bench. And then we've got David West.
One of my favorite guys, I think. Just his whole attitude
David
toward
West.
The whole thing. Yeah, David West and deciding to stay with the Pacers because he loves the franchise.
He did.
He loves who
him.
He's around. Mm-hmm. Not a, I mean, he getting his money.
Yeah.
But he could have shopped around with the year he had, and for him to stay put and be like, you know, this is where I want to be because this is where I'm enjoying playing basketball. Mm-hmm. That's just a great move and something you don't see in sports a lot.
Yeah. It's a Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant kind of move.
Yes,
stay
and he's
going to
continue to give Miami problems.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Al Jefferson is going to the Bobcats, who I
think was the second stupidest.
Everyone agrees is stupid. Yeah. Not for the Bobcats, but for Al
Jefferson.
For
Al Jefferson.
His career is over with.
No sense.
Yeah. But he's doing it for $41 million in 3 years, which is about what he was asking for. So
that's what he got. He got the team that was going to give it to him.
Yeah,
too.
That's the only team that would have given him that much money.
God, because they have it.
And then Paul Millsap, I think this is the steal free agency. Paul Millsap signed with the Hawks for 2 years and just $19
million.
Definitely.
And $8 million a year, that is cheap for his talents, and he's a guy that I would have loved to see the Mavericks pick up.
Yep. And then OJ Mayo left the Mavericks for a 3-year, $24 million deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. Now that's just $8 million a year for a pretty good wing player. But
he's
Milwaukee doesn't need a wing player.
And I've also heard a lot about the Mavericks getting Monte Ellis, so kind of just a switch there and see how much money he gets. Mm-hmm. But that would almost be just as good, if not better, than OJ Mayo.
That would be way better than OJ.
Yeah. I definitely think so. And just the way he plays, I think he'll fit way better with Dirk, with Calderon, whoever else they pick up.
Right. Chris Kaman signed with the Lakers for 1 year. He just went from the Clippers to the Lakers, just switched sides at the Staples Center. And then who's left for the Mavericks? We already talked about Andrew Bynum. Jeff Teague is left. Brandon Jennings, Monta Ellis, as you mentioned. Andre Kirilenko, Chris Anderson, Birdman. Gary Neal and Nate Robinson. Now, most of these guys are point guard and shooting guard material, not really the thing the Mavericks are looking for since they signed Jose Calderon to a 4-year, $29 million deal.
I don't know why they
did that. I don't get that either.
Calderon's not as bad a player, though. He's been in such bad teams that it would be interesting to see what he does with a player like Dirk.
He's been with the Raptors.
But he has been on really bad teams. And I agree with you. Okay, why are we signing a guy that's been on such bad teams? He's shown some good stats. Older, 11 points a game, 7-8 assists, which is hard to get in the league. But, you know, a 4-year, $29 million deal, you're almost looking at like you're stuck with him if he doesn't.
But check this out, though. A steal would be Andre Kirilenko. If they get rid of Marion and get Kirilenko, they have pretty much the same
thing.
That'll
free up a lot of money.
$7 million
for
less.
$7 million, and he can score a little bit better than Marion.
The problem is, as we've always talked about on the show, what good does it do to be a 7th, 8th, or 9th team in your division in the league? And that's what the Mavericks are shaping up to be again.
Yeah.
Instead of being terrible and maybe getting a good lottery pick, we're going to be one of those 7th, 8th, 9th teams. And I think that's all Mark Cuban really cares about is getting in the playoffs every year. And that's not how you win a championship.
He just wants those playoffs.
Not in basketball. Yeah. In baseball, if you just try to get in the playoffs, then
that's
you probably
good,
have
and
a
even
chance
in football,
at a series.
You could be a wild card.
Yeah,
that happens all the time.
Basketball is too easy to make the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah. Basketball, you don't make it past the first round if you're a lower seed.
I think Mark Cuban lost the city of Dallas when he traded away Tyson Chandler.
Okay.
That was I don't think until the repercussions of that came down.
The following season,
at the time, people were like, oh, well, still got Dirk, you know?
And it was looking like he put all his eggs in one basket, hoping for Dwight Howard, hoping for a big free agent that he could build around, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, and we thought
now,
it could.
It definitely was a good bet, but now that it's done, it looks like, oh, it's over. I mean, the Mavericks are just looking like
Devin Harris.
Yeah, there's nobody really left for them to be any good. So why don't we just save our money and wait and just see what and just wait and hopefully we can pick up someone in the lottery. As painful it is for me to say that as a Mavericks fan, to just accept failure, it's almost like, you know, we need to be bad.
But next year, the free agency is going to be way much better. You got Carmelo, LeBron. You have a lot of superstars, Wade, Bosh. So maybe Mark Cuban knows something we don't. You know, he might.
There's hoping.
Hopefully, because if he can get like another big man to help out Dirk, that's going to help the Mavericks out tremendously. If they get Bynum, and he stays healthy.
Yeah.
And Dirk is promising to take a significant pay cut next year. When
of course he would.
That's a team player.
Of course he would. And for names like Dirk or like LeBron or anybody like that, taking a pay cut, they're not making most of their money from their they got huge salaries.
Their contract is
Not where they're making their money.
They're making their money from commercials and
LeBron,
other stuff.
LeBron could take league minimum and make more money by virtue of winning four more championships by selling shoes than he ever would get paid from the Miami Heat.
Yeah. Ever.
Well, let's move on to the last Dallas team we're going to talk about today, the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, gosh.
Now, there's a lot going on with them, a lot of stuff to talk about, including Ron Jaworski, who is a pretty famous quarterback himself for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. Too bad he's evil.
Yeah, I never had to watch him play.
When is there not a lot of stuff to talk about on the Cowboys?
That's true.
It's a football state.
But he's right now he's doing a profile of the top 32 active QBs in the NFL. I think he's really it's not really the top 32, it's just the top like the top one.
He's ranking them, he's ranking them.
Because if he was doing the top 32, there's some backup quarterbacks I think would have made this list.
Yeah, good point.
Especially over Sanchez.
Yeah. Mark Sanchez, who he has 28th, by the way.
Why?
Sanchez beat Flynn and Cobb is
Like,
kind of beyond me.
Okay, the only one I can agree with right now is probably Jake Locker at 31 because he got hurt and, you know, he has potential. Brandon Weeden, I don't know why he's 26.
Oh, yeah, because they actually are looking for another quarterback.
Yes.
Brandon Weeden. I don't understand that. I didn't understand anything about Brandon
Weeden.
He's
the oldest rookie.
Looking at this list, and we don't have the entire thing out, I was kind of looking at it, and I was basically until you get – to about number 19, and there's a couple of names that maybe you could argue a little bit. You get about to 19, so number 20 and down, those are teams that are a liability to their quarterbacks. They're a liability to their teams instead of an asset.
Right. True.
Yeah. You get above that 20, and then you start looking at quarterbacks that, okay, these guys actually kind of help a little bit.
Yeah.
Although we do have Sam Bradford and Josh Freeman in that bottom 12. Or so, and you could argue that, but not based on last year.
Right.
I think personally, Sam Bradford needs to be ahead of Alex Smith because Sam Bradford has the tools. It's just
I do too. Alex Smith needs to be way low.
Yeah, he's Alex Smith needs to be over there with. No. Well, Christian Ponder is right. So
yeah,
I got to see what Alex Smith does with the Chiefs first because he had a very good year with the.
He had one good year.
49ers, very good year. But who knows if that's who was around him more than that.
Yeah, and if you look at the year he had, and then they bring in basically a rookie, and they change the game plan, and that guy takes him to the Super Bowl.
Then you're like, how good is this guy?
Well, wait a minute. Maybe Alex Smith wasn't doing so good after all.
If Kaepernick had never happened and the 49ers make the Super Bowl, we're looking at Alex Smith as a
top
11, 12 on here.
Trent Dilfer never made it into the top 15, okay?
That's true, he never did.
And he got Super Bowl MVP.
Rex Grossman never made it to the top 32.
I think he's a distant cousin of Mark Sanchez because he was on a good team. He had the easiest quarterback job I've ever seen an NFL quarterback other than Aikman had because he had a defense that didn't let nobody get past midfield.
Right.
So he didn't have to do much. He just had to
play from the 40-yard line every time.
So,
although I think Trent Dilfer, when he won with the Ravens, had it easier because the Ravens would actually score touchdowns too.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know what the Bears did too, but
scored defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, that year the Ravens went to the Super Bowl. They went like the longest stretch ever without scoring a touchdown offensively of any NFL team. It was like seven games. They went seven games without scoring an offensive touchdown, but they were still winning games like 17-9. So.
Yeah.
Because their defense. Yeah. The one quarterback on this list that I'm really looking forward to because he has one of my players is Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
Tannehill, he's getting a lot of hype. They're saying that he has weapons around him finally. And his assistant well, his football coach, the quarterback's coach, said he's going to be the most improved quarterback this next season.
That's pretty impressive.
I think he that can be. That wouldn't surprise right. me.
He has a lot that of wouldn't tools. Surprise me. He has the tools, and now that he got Mike Wallace, I don't know what Pittsburgh's going to do, but
getting a little closer to home, though, and just focusing on Romo.
The big story here is Tony Romo was ranked 15th overall. Now, I think that's a little low.
Stat-wise, he could be top 10.
Now, here's four that haven't been listed yet. Is he better than any of these? Andrew Luck, RG3, Russell Wilson, or Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah. Let's see, and we got another pen and started writing down, so that's four, and I would probably right now, I might put Romo above Russell Wilson, but I don't know. In terms of pure skill, maybe above Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, but I don't know. For what they've shown and what they showed last, they deserve some props for their performance last year. So maybe not. Maybe I wouldn't. And trying to be objective here, but let's think of some other names that aren't on here. Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. You got a bunch of names that aren't on here. I think Romo is better than more than half the quarterbacks in the league, and that's generally what I've argued. And I think he has the ability to be in a top 10 and maybe a top 5 quarterback if he has time to throw the ball. It's just the last couple of seasons, he hadn't showed that.
That's been the main issue. Because his receiver core is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant, Witten, and Miles Austin, he has the receivers. He just needs a blind side blocker.
Right.
Because that's what's killing him. The left side of his line is what's hurting Romo.
Well, and Romo is good on paper. His stats, you said earlier. His stats. He threw quite a few interceptions last year, especially compared to the year before. But his stats are good on paper. It's just there's breakdowns at the wrong times. And it's not even necessarily just, like everybody says, imploding in the fourth quarter, can't win. He actually, his fourth quarter comeback percentage is pretty good.
Pretty high.
If you look at the stats, it's better than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
but there's just just these incredible brain farts.
It's just this moment. Just like one moment that captures you, and you're like, he's like, that's why he's not top 10.
Well, his hero was Brett Favre, so I mean, what else do you need to say?
Same thing about Brett.
He except Brett had a stronger arm and had just a few more amazing
and a couple things went his way more than Romo. A couple things go Romo's way.
Well, Brett Favre had Mike Holmgren. That helped a lot.
And Brett Favre is one of like five players to have several passes thrown to himself where he bounced it off somebody. He has the record for most interceptions and most touchdowns thrown.
So I don't know if that's a good role model.
Right, yeah. Well, but what do you guys think? Like, let's do a hypothetical. If Tony Romo was put with the line and the players that Denver has, where Peyton Manning is now, do you think he's a top five?
Top five, yeah.
I don't know about top five. I think top 10, yeah.
Okay. Top 10, I can see him at number 10.
But I'm not going to put him more Peyton. Yeah. I'm not going to say he's as good as Peyton Manning.
Well, what if Peyton Manning was put with the Cowboys? How good of a quarterback would he be with this?
Well, first of all, then the entire offense would change and Peyton Manning would be running it. And that would be a big difference there. There would be no question there.
Who's in charge?
I think one of the things, and I may have mentioned this before, is that a lot of teams in the NFL want their quarterback to be Peyton Manning. So they start giving them all these freedoms and basically making them offensive coordinators on the field. Not every quarterback's smart enough to do that.
Exactly.
Right. You need to get out like Michael Vick. You don't want Michael Vick calling blocking assignments.
You really
be
don't.
Out of your mind. Get your center to call
show
that.
Don't want Sanchez or Ponder. Or weeding.
Exactly, making decisions out there. No, get out there and run the play. Yes. And I think that Tony Romo is a better quarterback if he's the, hey, get out there, run the play, here it is kind of guy. Dez Bryant, too. Not give him freedom on running different routes and adjustments. Just run a straight route. Back with Troy Aikman, a smart guy. Okay, they didn't have audibles in
the
90s. They
ran the system.
They said, run this play. Well, if it doesn't work, shut up. I'm thinking about that. You go out there and run it. Hand it to Emmitt.
Yeah, you got one thing to think about, and that's do what we say.
And that's Romo is so good at improvising when the play breaks down. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a lot better if you just eased off and not want him to be Peyton Manning.
There's very few people that can do that. Peyton Manning and
Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers, a little Drew Brees.
Eli Manning is like more of a Romo than he is like a Peyton.
Yeah. And I don't think he has the freedoms to do those things that Peyton does.
I would say four.
You got four quarterbacks.
What I say.
Right.
Yeah. You got four quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers.
You could put in
that
Ben
order,
in there.
But you could take.
You could put Ben in there because Ben Roethlisberger. You know, sometimes they let him run the offense, but you know, sometimes it fails.
No, he's better. he's better at improvising after the play instead of before the play.
Yeah, I think he's more in the Romo Eli category than I say he's in the Peyton.
Well, let's move on to another topic in Cowboys conundrums here. Josh Brent was recently released from jail following a judicial order. Now, we've heard all the stuff that's going on with him. He killed a fellow teammate, and he's also had some other stuff going on with him. Just recently got arrested after another marijuana possession. So
was it possession or failing the drug test?
I think it was both. Probably I think he got arrested for possession, then he failed the drug test.
If you got caught with it, you more and more likely you fail the drug test.
Yeah. Just okay. Yeah, if you caught with it, you're probably gonna fail. But, that's probably it.
Well, you could be carrying it home to your mama. I don't know.
That's true. I mean, she could have a medicinal purpose or something.
Yeah. Just having to drive to Colorado.
Right. But my question is, do the Cowboys stick with him? Because they've already stuck with him through a manslaughter incident. Do you think this is the final straw? Or?
I think they take a page out of the Patriots handbook and just go with that.
Okay.
Because if you're going to do something, follow the best. And I think the Patriots made the best decision with Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that, too. Mm-hmm. And I think I agree with you with Josh Brand at this point. It's just too much to deal with.
Right.
I don't. The intoxicated manslaughter, that kind of stuff, the whole story behind that and the support from the guy's family and everything else for him, I was glad that they kept him on the team. I thought that was showing a lot of heart and standing up for your guy. Everybody makes mistakes.
Right.
Okay. But you're skating on thin ice. You've done this. You killed one of your friends. And then you get caught with weed. You get caught breaking the law now.
Yeah,
now you go, okay, now you're just stupid. Bye.
Yeah, it's too many strikes.
We'll see ya.
We gave you one shot, and then you keep continuing to mess up. And I think more and more teams are starting to see, okay, we can't tell a guy not to do this because he's going to go out there and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the Chad Johnsons and, you know, that Dez Bryant.
Quincy Carters.
Yeah, you know.
Some people, when they get that
much money, they just don't know what to do with it. They just do stupid things. And sad.
It's just a, hey, man, we wish you the best, but we can't do this anymore.
Yeah, you're hurting our organization.
You're hurting us.
Right. Yeah.
You're not helping us, and maybe if you get things cleaned up, you know,
we'll
be here. But
it's up to you.
He's
now
in a way better boat than Aaron right here.
Yeah.
Aaron's
he
was caught with some smoky smoke instead of some bangy bangs.
Yeah.
So we would be talking about what we're talking about.
It was roaches, not dead bodies.
Aaron, the thing about Aaron, like I'm seeing here, EA Sports and Madden is pulling him off. The I saw on SportsCenter about the jerseys that some fans were upset that they didn't get a 10 to do it because they really wanted to trade away their jerseys.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for
that's
the Patriots.
Good. I like the Patriots doing that.
Robert Kraft is doing a great job. Because
I also
like
the profiteering on the jerseys on eBay.
Yeah.
Man, I wish I had a box full of Aaron Hernandez.
Me too.
Yeah, well, let's talk about all this.
And it's historical.
Yeah, let's talk about all this. EA Sports, as Jordan said, is pulling Aaron Hernandez from Madden 25 and NCAA Football 14. Now, there are some questions on why he's on a college football game anyway. It's because his image appears on one token where if you do something like whether you're tied in, you just randomly get an image of him.
Oh,
it's just
okay.
Like a trading card.
Oh, okay.
But they're pulling that, and it's not going to be right away. You could still get that achievement and have his face show up on the first release of it.
I don't know if you want to.
Yeah. But after the first update comes through in like a few weeks, they're going to take that face off and replace it with someone else. And then the Patriots are accepting Hernandez jerseys back for a different jersey this last Saturday and Sunday. It was only those 2 days, and you had to go to the Patriots Pro Shop in Massachusetts or wherever.
Way to get them in the pro shop. What a smart move there.
You had to take them back to the pro shop. You had to buy them at the pro shop or online at patriotsproshop.com. But even then, 1,200 jerseys were exchanged.
That's impressive that there was
1,200 jerseys.
And I heard many people have Aaron Hernandez jerseys.
Yeah. I heard 300 of those were kids jerseys,
I would
too.
Think that's a low number.
300 of those were kids.
Yeah.
I heard.
Yeah.
Oh. No. A lot of them were kids' jerseys.
Yeah.
I would think that was a low number.
That's a low number.
Remember, especially last season, Gronkowski was out for
the majority
of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was there.
But, I mean, that's just from PatriotsProShop.com, not
NFL.com.
And to be
in the area, and you had to return it to the shop.
Yeah. That's the hard part, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of people are making a lot of money on eBay, selling them for as much as $1,500 online.
Especially autographed ones.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
That's a famous athlete. He's like the most notorious athlete to mess up.
It'd be like selling.
No, he's not.
OJ.
Recently.
OJ. Well, recently.
He's the new
I'll
OJ.
I'll take recently.
He's the new OJ, except he's getting caught.
Except he didn't, except he didn't drive a white LeSabre away.
And I'm pretty sure there's zero people that care if he's set free or not. Exactly. He's there with a lot of people wanting OJ free, you know?
Not Aaron.
The next thing that will come out is one of the Patriots players will be selling Aaron Hernandez jerseys that were traded in.
I would not be surprised.
Robert Kraft has probably got an eBay account.
Yeah,
he's selling,
Robert Kraft.
He's selling Aaron Hernandez jersey now. $1,500.
Aaron Hernandez is signing jerseys to pay his legal bills. That's what it is. Here, lawyer. Here you go.
He just hands him a jersey. Well, another question
Three
for you guys.
Jerseys an hour. That's my favorite.
Right, yeah. But what do you guys think of Aaron Hernandez? Do you think it's kind of unfair that he's already guilty in the public eye? I mean, it's innocent until proven guilty here in the United States, right?
No.
What do you
think? Not in the media.
It's not in the media.
The media, it's the exact opposite.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not wrong. In the media, they teach you whatever dirt, get it out there fast.
Right.
But
is that fair? That's my question.
I mean, Aaron Hernandez has been getting in trouble since Florida.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're a person that the media knows well and you're constantly in trouble, like the strip club incident,
back
and now they're talking about saying he might have something to do with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you had all of these connections, I mean, of course the public going to think you're a bad guy. So,
right.
I mean, that's his fault.
But, I mean, he also, right after he got his extension, turned around and gave $50,000 of that to charity. I mean,
only $50,000.
Yeah, but here's the deal with that. I mean,
first of all, it's
a good thing, and I like that our tax laws are this way because it encourages people to donate. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that's just writing off for taxes.
$50,000 to Hernandez is $5 to me. So
right. Yeah,
right.
But
I mean, is it really fair? I mean.
Well, first of all,
we joke
about it, but it's a sad thing.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, like
this happening.
Whatever,
like you said, 300 kids had this guy's jersey, and now this comes out.
Yeah,
that's sad to those kids that looked up to him as a role model,
and they don't even understand what all's going on.
No, they don't. They just he's not playing football anymore.
Yeah,
what's going on?
And with this backlash too, it makes people think he's guilty. Because to be honest with you, I've kept up a little with the story, but I haven't read all the ins and outs.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Patriots reacted the way they did, I was like, well,
it's over.
Not without question, but
this is bad. This guy's guilty of something.
Yeah.
Something. Maybe he didn't pull a trigger, but this guy's involved some way.
He
drove the car.
This is bad.
Like, he saw what happened. Either he's not telling something, because I just don't want to say he murdered the guy. But
then I know that is going a little far, but for the Patriots to drop him, that guy, because let's face it, the most important color in this country is green.
Yes.
And Aaron Hernandez was making
a lot of green
for New England. Mm-hmm. And
he was one of Brady's favorite targets.
Fast.
Yeah.
Fast. Dumped him fast and got rid of him fast. It was so there's something to this, I think. And I think that's how it'll come out. Is it necessarily fair? Well, I guess we'll see. If he was guilty, it was fair.
Well, how about this question? Do you think he's going to be guilty even if he wasn't guilty? Do you think the jury's already?
No, okay. I don't.
No, the jury's going to be fair. They're not just going to punish him.
You don't think they'd be already?
No, I think
stuck
they're
going to
do a fair. I think they're going to do a fair trial.
Okay.
Because I mean, after all, like everybody deserves a fair trial.
And jury selection is a big deal, and they'll go through there. And generally, in this case, is with the stars, the Aaron Hernandez is going to have competent, if not overqualified, legal representation.
Yeah.
And these sorts of instances far tend to lean towards the stars. Side of things as opposed to the state side of things. Right. So,
but as far as sports, is he already guilty in the minds of NFL franchises?
Yeah, his NFL career is over.
Yeah, it's over. Unless he goes to the Canadian Football League.
No. If he's found not guilty, he'll be playing somewhere else next year.
I agree. He'd be.
I don't know.
The Jets will pick him up,
but they won't even the state won't even let him out on bail.
Right.
That's how strong the evidence is.
Exactly.
He's considered a massive flight risk and all this other stuff.
Right.
So a lot of these are the reasons you look at it and go, yeah, his career's over because he's guilty.
Yeah.
That's why.
Right.
Guilty of something.
And it's actually so bad. The evidence is so compelling now. That the defense has asked that the evidence like that was gathered in the search warrants and what even the search warrants were for isn't being released to the public so that the potential jury can't see that.
So that's pretty bad.
So
oh, yeah,
it's getting pretty. Like I said, I can catch up with everything, but
right.
when they don't let somebody that's high profile out of prison, and then they have to keep him in solitary confinement because since he's famous, he's not. And then that's
people just like bang bang. Yeah. They're famous.
Well, it is for his own safety. People will come up to Aaron Hernandez and go, "Oh, you think you're bad and tough? Let's see how bad and tough it is. You're just a target if you're that." Or people might be trying to extort you, think you're still at millions or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It just makes him a target in the general population, but they're not. So they would want to let him out if they thought it was going to be okay. Yeah. That would be the tendency for what they would do, but they're not doing that. Right. So,
well, my last question for you guys today is, with him gone, with Rob Gronkowski getting injured every day, it seems like, with Wes Welker gone.
My fantasy football team, man.
With Wes Welker gone. Who does Tom Brady have left? Who's his options for receivers? Who's his
Tim
options
Tebow?
For...
I honestly don't know.
Do you think?
I did think about that when they signed Tim Tebow. He goes, sweet, the next Wes Welker.
Here's my question, though. If Tom Brady...
Wide receiver option packs.
If Tom Brady manages to have even remotely the same numbers, is he in the Hall of Fame right now with the limited options he has?
Yes.
It's Tom. Yeah, Tom Brady was in the Hall of Fame 4 years ago.
I know, but I mean, would we enshrine him right now?
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but would it be like an instant thing if he could keep that production level?
You know, Tom Brady's known for taking no-name receivers and making.
Yeah, I don't think the Patriots will be bad. I think they'll still be good.
Deion Branch.
Because who knows who the Patriots are going to get? Who's going to be the next? They're the Spurs of the NFL.
Yes. Right.
You never know who's going to pop up.
It could
be
Tim Tebow. You never know.
They got Tebow, don't they?
Yeah, they have signed him.
And I think they will. They'll work him as like Danny Woodhead a little bit.
They're going to use him.
They'll use him in the
Wildcat.
He'll
be on the field.
They'll use him.
Yeah. They lost Danny Woodhead, too. So they
did they? They lost Danny Woodhead? Yeah, but who did they get last year? Was it their rookie running back that was really good?
He wasn't a rookie, but Ben Jarvis
Green Ellis? No, because he left and went to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Who was their new guy?
They got a new wave. They'll have a new wave coming through.
Whatever's going on.
Anyway, their running back's really good. Yeah. I think they like to run the ball. I think Tim Tebow will be involved in that. They'll do some stuff, and they'll find a receiver out there. And they need to because, like you said, Gronkowski's hurt.
Yeah. Or partying.
All the time. Yeah. Doing something.
But to answer your question, though, I guess I don't really understand the question. You go, would Tom Brady instantly go into the Hall of Fame? I'm like, yeah, he's already in. Yeah. He earned his way into the Hall of Fame 4 years ago.
That was just a question on Mike and Mike a few days ago. They were like, if Tom Brady could – have the same production level, is he in right away? That was just one of their questions.
He can retire tomorrow.
Yeah, he's in.
And most people would say put him in, Friday. Put him in Friday if he retired on Thursday.
He's in there as soon as he announces his retirement. They're straight to Canton.
Right.
Five years. You're in.
And maybe his wife gets in there for hottest football wife.
No, for real. For real.
He has
the hottest football wife.
Right. Well, I think that's going to about do it for us today. We're going to try to have another local figure, maybe a local football coach on, or maybe talk fantasy football since that's coming up on the Friday edition. But be sure to stay tuned. We're going to have all our updates on Jaws' updated QB list. We'll keep you updated on that, whatever the Mavericks end up spending ridiculous amounts of money on. if Tanner Shepherd makes the All-Star team, and we'll finish off whatever controversial questions come in. But this is the final straw for Tuesday's edition. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Jordan Davis.
I'm Kevin Jeffries.
And Taylor Phelps.
This is KETR's Locker Room. We'll see you on Friday, folks.